The following presentation is brought to you by Priority One.
I'm responsible. This is a scary three words I'm going to teach you, okay? And the reason I say I'm going to teach it to you because, unfortunately, when we are sort of driving on the highway, we have to get to the chasana really quick, and, you know, we're speeding. What's going through your mind? What am I going to tell the cop when he pulls me over? And you're thinking of excuses, right? And my friend, he acted nuts and he got away with the ticket. And my wife's checking and say she's in labor. And all kinds of stuff that you're trying to think when the cop stops me. And if you're a child, a teenager, and you're having a great time playing ball and you know that you're not going to do your homework, in your child's mind, all they're doing is thinking, what am I going to tell the teacher when I don't have the homework? And that's the excuses I'm thinking about. That's all they want to know. How am I going to get away with it? And Brian Tracy says the three most important words, and it's scary, and I'm going to ask everyone now, it's funny, but close your eyes. And as you close your eyes, I'm going to close my eyes, you close your eyes, I'm going to say three words and tell me the feeling, or try to have the feeling that you're going to have when I say these three words, when I say them. What does that make you feel? Ready? Here's the words. Close your eyes. I am responsible. Somebody. Okay, don't tell me. It's a scary feeling. When was the last time you said, I'm responsible? How did this work happen? How could there's a mess in the house? How come the business is going down the drain? How come the report wasn't done? I'm responsible. Woo! That's heavy. That's very heavy. I'm responsible. That's scary. Three scary words. And you have to realize that that's starts by us. If we have a hard time saying I'm responsible, guess what? Your kids are going to have a hard time saying that too. And it's very important that every time chinuch is like last week's parasha. Right? Avraham Avinu, he gives bread, Hashem gives bread to Klal Yisrael. Avraham Avinu gives meat, Hashem gives slav to Klal Yisrael. Avraham Avinu tells Yishmael, Yukach no ma'at mayim, go take water, and Hashem punishes Klal Yisrael by giving to a shliach to Moshe. What do you mean? Chinuch! Avraham Avinu, your mechanach is kid Yishmael, give the guy water. You want to mechanach your kids? Do it yourself. When your kid sees you doing it, that's chinuch. And it was a joke, you know, like the Lamaze teacher's childbirthing class, the husband and wife come to the class and try to show how childbirth is and how difficult it is for a wife to carry around the baby for 9 months. So the very creative teacher gets a watermelon and she gets some apparatus and she straps around the husband's stomach and she's like walking and saying, go ahead, walk around and see how your wife feels for 9 months with a watermelon connected to her. And she's very creative, and she says to the husband, watch this. And she takes a pencil, throws the pencil on the floor. And she says, go ahead, see how your wife feels and how your wife acts when she has to pick up a pencil with a baby in her stomach for 9 months. So the husband looks at the pen and says, honey, can you please pick up the pencil for me? That's not what we're saying. You got to do it yourself, and you can't feel that you want your kids to be a certain way and you're not a certain way. That's the most important thing of chinuch. Okay? And it's scary to say that because unfortunately, if anyone doesn't have a handout, okay. It's scary to say that because unfortunately, chinuch of our children started when we were teenagers or kids. Okay, but don't worry. You know, there's always, you have to realize that children are resilient. You make a mistake, if you make a mistake for 20 years, then the psychologist has got to come in. But if you make a mistake once, twice, 10 times, 15 times, children bounce back. They bounce back. That means if you walk into this class now and you're sort of changing your attitude towards your children, again, you love your children. We all love our children. But it's the attitude. What do we want for our children? If we change our attitude, our children will snap back. It may take a while, they may not trust, hey, what are you talking about here? But it's important to realize that there's always change and some children will have the ability to bounce back, especially And they see that the parents are sincere in the way they're viewing them. They were not talking about love. We're talking about what you want your child to be. And the name of this workshop is really going to really be, it should be autonomous. Making our children autonomous. Our biggest goal in life is to make our children separate themselves from us. Mothers, it's hard to hear this, but that's your goal. You want your children to be self-confident, reliant, independent, capable individuals. And the only thing that happens is when they separate themselves with us. There's a feeling of connectedness that we want with our children. And that's what holds us back from doing these skills and with our children, the way our attitude is. Because I also want to say something also. It's important to know that many people have the need to feel needed. And if you have that need, it's going to be difficult to change your attitude towards your children because you want your children to need you. And that's, you want that for their benefit, but it's not for their benefit. Of course, there's a balance we're talking about here. But this workshop is going to help you change your attitude towards your children to make them mature and responsible adults. Any age, it's the same thing. Okay. Number one, okay? So we're talking about encourage autonomy, A. Go to one, respecting child struggle, okay? You see little Shlomi, and little Shlomi is trying to button his jacket. I can't get this done. I can't do it. I can't do this. Ma, could you please help me? And what does a good mother do? Comes over, gives a big hug and a kiss, and buttons a jacket for them. How does a kid feel? I don't know. Kid in the jacket. Watch this. Little Shlomi's buttoned a jacket. I can't get this jacket. Ma, could you please help with this jacket? And mother says, little Shlomi, sometimes it's easier to button the jacket. You start with the top button. And then the kid takes and looks and buttons the jacket. Now how does the kid feel? With a smile on his face, hey, I did it. The best way to show it, understand a child's struggles and not do it for them is to give information. Kid's trying to open up that soda bottle to get your finger under that bottle. You can't open the tab. So of course parents, opens it for them. It's sometimes easier to do it if you have like you hand them a nickel. Here, stick a nickel. Use a nickel. Not even say, don't say stick a nickel. Use a nickel. Sometimes it helps when you stick it underneath. Sometimes it helps if you have long nails. Sometimes it helps if you stick a toothpick or a key to open up that thing. Imagine the kid, didn't the kid that you do it for them, it was an experience that lasted 5 seconds. But that kid's going to view himself totally different than it was before. Now, okay, disclaimer, when you got to get to the chasana in 3 minutes, you don't do this, okay? You just button the jacket and throw the kid in the car. Okay, we're not talking about the tense times. We're talking about daily calm living. Daily living, not so calm. But not when you got to go to the chasana. This is not the time to practice these skills. Okay? So number one is respect children's struggles, and the key word is give information. Okay, the kid or your older child is having a hard time with fractions, right? So you're respecting the child's struggle. Wow. Let me show you how to do that. And you sit down and you show them how to do it. Okay, so the kid, the guy, is, you know, mother, father, do it for him, great. Imagine if you said fractions. I remember when I was in school, fractions were really hard. It's kind of hard to find that common denominator, huh? You gave him a little bit. You respected the child's struggles, you gave information, and that's it. If the kid can do it, you gave him a whole new opportunity to view himself as a person who can do it, and that's the key here. You know, we always talk about the Yiddish mama. What a good mother! What she wouldn't do for her child! So what we're saying now is that's not necessarily a good mother. Because if you're doing anything for your child, my mother tells me that her mother, when she was 20 years old, used to meet her at the subway station when it was raining with her galoshes, so she shouldn't get her feet wet. Okay? What a wonderful mother. No, that's a bad mother. You don't say they're bad, but that's a misinformed mother. You want to give your child the ability to believe in themselves, and that's the key here. When you control them and do not allow them to flex their autonomous muscles. It's no different than doing exercise for your spouse. You ate a big child? Let me go on the treadmill. It's no shit. What are you doing? You're doing it for them. If you don't let your child make decisions and make choices and all the things we learned today, you're taking away the opportunity to flex their autonomous muscles, and that's what you want. You want your child to be autonomous. It's important. Okay. Let's go to the next one. Okay. Don't rush to answer. Okay, let them explore the answers themselves. Why does Bobby have to visit us every week? What do you mean? She visits us because she loves us and because she wants to be next to you. And don't you love her? Slow down. Why does Bobby visit us every week? That's an excellent question. Why do you think Bobby visits us every week? Now remember, a child who's asking the question is already thinking of the answer. By you darshaning, you're not helping. What do you think? She knows, or she's thinking why. There are different options. Imagine if you say, why do you think Bobby comes every week? And the kid thinks, now again, how much time do you have in your hands? And you gotta do the dishes while she's asking the question. But if you could stop 5 seconds and say, why do you think Bobby comes every week? And the child says, because she loves us? Yeah, that's a good answer. You don't have to say that's the answer. That's a good answer. Imagine the information that was just given. When you say, because Bobby loves us, blah, 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 it's your answer. When she says, because she loves us, man, it's her answer. And that information now is in her brain, in her soul, because she answered it. Any information that you give, you're basically stuffing a goose. It's not natural. Anything that you can get them to say, there's a whole teaching called Socratic teaching, Socratic learning, and the whole concept is to ask questions and get them elicit answers. Because if a kid will answer themselves, it's theirs. If you answer for them, it's yours, trying to stuff a goose, unnatural, doesn't belong there, maybe they'll keep it, maybe they won't. So it's important that whatever you can, don't rush to answer. Where does snow come from? Well, you see, in the sky, it's very cold, and raindrops and snowflakes, mom, rah, rah, rah. When a child asks that question, you're thinking, where does snow come from? That's an excellent question. Where does snow come from? Yeah, and you may want to say, well, it was raining before, and how come now it's snowing? Hey, what temperature is it? Let the child. Don't answer for the child. Let the child think themselves. Why can't everybody just do whatever they want? Why do they have to follow rules altogether? Right? So you say, what do you mean? If everybody... Well, why do you think children... why do you think people are not... What, or maybe you'll say, what would happen if everybody can do whatever they want? Let's imagine, let's close our eyes and imagine. What would happen if everybody could do whatever they wanted? What does the child do when you say that? The child starts to think. What happens when you start to say, well, what do you mean? Have you ever heard of that? What does the child do? Shut down. She's still looking at you out of respect, but she's not listening to you. You say, why do you think people can't do whatever they want? The child's thinking. You got the child where you want them to do, to start thinking and understanding the world in a way that comes from them. And we're not talking about giving hashkafa here. We're talking about when the child asks a question to you. And it's something that you know that they have the capability to answer or to think about. And then you can sort of direct them in a way. It's not a steer with giving them a hashkafa, but to direct them in the way without giving them the answer. Okay, number three, don't ask too many questions. Too many questions, especially teenagers, can be experienced as an invasion of one's private life. Right? Girl comes home from school. How was your teacher today? Did she like your competition? Composition? Did you pass the math test? Is anyone coming over after school to play? If yes, no, why? Who was there? What kind of dress were they wearing? Who did you sit next to? What does your teenage girl do? She runs home crying. Woo! How's this? I have a daughter. My teenage daughter comes home. She had her in Shabbos. Shackle just to start in last night, and she comes home. You remember, she has just experienced a whole host of relationship issues. She has a friend who was there, a friend wasn't there, she would have been there. She, her friend said something to the comment, she looked at her dress, she didn't like her dress. Woo! When you come see her the first time, watch this. Hi, Hi, Sora. Glad to see you. Now, she's going to come back and talk to you in 15 minutes after she sort of settles down. Because you gave her a space. Bombarded with questions. Whoa. Now, right? Are you allowed to say, how was your day? Sure. Hi, Sora. How was your day? Response? Okay. Not good. Never good. Okay. Okay. And she goes through. Right? That's what it's going to be every time. If you allow that, great.
Great responsibility.
That's it. The child's going to come back and talk to her. She'll talk when she's ready to talk. He'll talk when he's ready. You know, obviously, if there's an emergency and she's come back, she's pale-faced, and she's shooken up, and then obviously we're not talking about that. We're talking about regular day-to-day cases. She goes to her room, and she's crying, and you know, she's like, how was your day? Oh, okay. And runs to her room. That's when you may want to go to the door, knock on the door gently, and say, Sarah, if you want to talk, I'm here to listen. That's it. Don't bring it up. She'll talk to you when she's ready. Because the child has the ability to sort of deal with her emotions, and then come talk to her when she's ready for it. It's very, very important to deal with it, even young children, okay? Number four, encourage outside sources. They're not completely dependent on us, okay? My turtle is sick, what should I do? Well, let's go to the, let's go figure it out, let's go to the pet store, blah, blah, blah. Encourage outside sources. Why don't you call the pet shop yourself? My son just got a pet, it's called a sugar glider. Sugar glider is a marsupial, it's like a flying squirrel. Fantastic, fantastic pet, expensive, but it's worth it. And you have to bond with this pet for 2 weeks, gotta hold him for 2 weeks straight. You can't give any freedom, because then it becomes, then you become the center of this sugar glider's universe. It's an amazing pet. Anyway, so my son just got the pet a week ago, and the sugar glider's already crawling all over him and playing with him, and you know, Yaakov said, Tati, he's crawling over me, what should I do? Here? Encourage outside sources. That's a good question. Why don't you call the owner of the pet shop that you bought it from? So my 8-year-old son gets on the phone. Hello, Mr. Larkin? Yeah, my sugar glider is all over, what should I do? Now, even if I told him what to do, he wouldn't listen to me anyway. The mere fact that he had the courage to make that call to Mr. Larkin at the pet shop, and explain the problem, and the pet owner explained to him what to do. That's it. Now my son's gonna do it because he did it. It was his question, it was his inquiring, and he got the answer from the professionals. I don't know, father who maybe or maybe not knows what he's talking about. Okay? Encourage outside sources. I need a keyboard teacher. Mommy, what should I do? Well, I'll go call the local. No. Why don't you check the papers and see if this keyboard teacher's available? You know, we're not talking about the internet and you know, that's not what we're talking about here. You want to make sure your child has access to answers. You don't have to go to the internet to get all your answers. You can easily go to your pet shop, or you can go to, all my friends have gum, why can't I chew gum? Now, you know you're a dead duck anyway, because anything you say, the kid's not gonna be happy with. Because she already said, all my friends have gum, why can't I have gum? Which means, mom, dad, you're guilty. All my friends have, why can't I have gum? So instead of answering, which is not going to help anyway, it's an excellent question. Why don't we go ask the dentist? If dentist shows stats, well, people chew gum and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. She's going to be a lot happier to hear from the dentist than from you. And she may even listen to the dentist. But for you, you're the chelsea anyway. Encourage outside sources, okay? Don't take, number five, I'm sorry. Let children make choices. Okay, this is a scary one. Practice decision making. Dr. Morris Mendel said many, okay, this is again, this is not Moshe, this is not Torah's Moshe, you know, this is not the Bible, but this is a psychologist who says many older singles have a difficulty getting married because they have a hard time making decisions. When children are not raised with decision-making abilities, what usually happens is that when they come to the big question, should I marry her, should I marry him, the same problems come up, I don't know. So how do you help our children make decisions? Okay, one more important thing is that if you don't allow them to experience failures and successes, especially when the decisions are being made, You take away their ability to believe in themselves, which means that every time they make a decision, and you see the decision is you telling them what to do, you're saying, you should not believe in yourself. You are incapable of making decisions. Now, what type of decision would you make in life? You can get to that. For small children, do you want to have orange juice for supper or apple juice for supper? Simple things. Do you want to wear the red shirt or the blue shirt? Simple thing. It doesn't make a big difference. Do you want to play with your blocks for another 5 minutes and then take a bath? Or you want to take a bath now? We're not talking about do you want to eat potato or potato? You know, the Irish father beats their kids. You want to get beaten with the belt or you want, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about decisions that are easy to do and children make choices. Well, I don't know, should I wear the red shirt or blue shirt? Should I wear the blue pants or red pants? I don't know, good question, I don't know. And make that decision. You're training them to flex their autonomous muscles. That's the key here. Let them flex their autonomous muscles. Yes? No, that's because that's a safety issue. You may say, even though you feel that you're not cold, mommy is worried about your health. And it's not, that's not a discussion thing, because that's a health thing. But you should say, I realize you don't feel cold. And I know you probably don't feel cold at all, but mommy's making that decision about you know, your health. And that's not a discussion. It's a health issue.
Don't like it?
I'm not, my philosophy is tough love. I'm not Mr. Nice Guy. I'm not a pushover. I don't make it. It's very simple. Let's talk. Things that are health issues. Let's talk about. Yes.
Just go back for a moment. So that the child comes home and you pump them with questions. How did they also, let's say a parent who has a child. It's so important not to ask them right away when they come back. So how was it?
Right.
They
it's too much.
Exactly. They'll tell you one.
Right. Shidduchim. Shidduchim. Very, very important that shidduchim. You don't pressure them because they are just so overwhelmed by the experience, whatever happened, good and bad. They'll tell you when they're ready, especially if you have a listening ear. Okay. We're leaving in 15 minutes from the playground. Do you want to go on the slide first, or you want to go on the swing first, or last, whatever it is? Okay.
Go.
You want to practice your violin before supper or after supper? It's a simple decision. Now, obviously, when they got the big decision, should I go to the party? And you may say, what's your question? Well, if I go, Sarah's gonna be there, and I don't like her because she made fun of me last time. But if I don't go, I'm gonna feel bad because Shifra said I should come. And I mean, let them play out their decision making. Work with her. Don't give the answer. Let them make the decision because you're doomed if you give the answer anyway. I don't know what to do. What should I do? Last night, my daughter was invited to a bas mitzvah for a close neighbor, and my wife forgot to tell her. It was a small little family affair. I forgot to tell her. So the bus was at 8:30, and my wife at 9:15 says, "Oh, I forgot. Bayla's having her family bus, so they want you to stop by." She was in tears. Well, I can't show up now. I'm 45 minutes late. Like it starts on time anyway. I can't come. No. It was bad. She was in tears. What should I do? And back and forth. So my wife just gave her the choices. Your choice. You should repeat back her choices. So really, Chasa, you have two choices. You can go to the bas mitzvah and be 45 minutes late, or you cannot go to the bas mitzvah and feel bad that you didn't go. Yeah, but what's the best? Just keep repeating the choices. I gotta tell parents, this is the best, not the best, but one of the best techniques. It's called self-checkout counter chinuch. Okay, self-checkout counter. Here we go, ready? You go to the checkout store, you go to the Pathmark, and you scan the item, okay? So it says, please scan next item. And you scan the item and make a mistake. What does it say? Please scan next item. Scan it again, it makes a mistake. Please scan next item. You make a mistake. You can make 1,000 mistakes. The machine will never say, you idiot! Scan the next item! It's always me. Please scan next item. Please scan next item. It's called a broken record routine, but I think self-checkout counter. When your child has some sort of disagreeing with you, and you're a parent, and you're saying, David, When it's six, you may show, when it's below six, you may have a thermometer, when it's below 6 degrees, we wear our jackets in this house. Is that fair? Happy to them? Love it. When the temperature is below 6 degrees, we wear a jacket. It's not fair, my friends don't have to wear it. Self-checkout counter. Love it. When it's below 6 degrees, we don't. It's very, very powerful because your child knows, first of all, you're the boss. This is the rule. And you don't have to talk about you have to wear your jacket. Don't talk about you, because when you say you, it's personal. Just say, in our house, when it's below 6 degrees, we wear our jacket. Don't lose your cool. Just keep saying it over and over again. Very self-checkout counter. When you go to Pathmark next time, listen to it and try it. Please scan next item. Please scan. Yeah.
Something
no.
As a parent?
No.
Not more than once. And then at a certain point, like this is, I said this.
Okay, I for young children, this is the model. This is the way to go. You mean you're saying, what do you mean? I said it first. I said it one time. That's, I'm not going to say it again.
You don't end up in like a battle.
No. Did you hear the difference? Yeah. She's saying, isn't there a mahalach? I said it, and that's it. Because you can end up in a battle. No, self-checkout counter means there's no emotions. Never talk about it. It's just, as a matter of fact, example, it's, okay, I need to, okay, can I go to Ruchi's house? No, you can't go to Ruchi's house because you didn't do your homework and you gotta, you're finished. It's during supper time in the Cohen house, we don't go to friends' houses. Is that fair to them? During supper time, just say.
Why is that not
enough? No. Because she's still kvetchy.
Only because she knows you're going to keep on answering.
No, if you answer this way, she's going to learn very quickly. It's not getting anywhere. The only thing she's asking is because she knows she's going to win you because she's going to wind you down and wear you down. And then when she wins, you're finished. Yeah. Okay. The key of self-checkout counter is there's no emotions. The reason why your children get into a battle with you is because they sense your emotions. They know they're winning you because they know they're ticking you off. And the louder you scream and the more you blame, the more they'll continue because they're going to win because they can whine a lot faster and better than you can. You won't have to. Let me show you this. Okay, here we go, ready? I'm gonna ask, you're a teacher. David and Yonason are fighting, are kicking each other, okay? Any volunteers? Okay, David and Yonason are fighting, you're in fourth grade and you're kicking each other. What is that gonna sound like? What's it gonna sound like? So David kicks you and Yonason kicks you and I'm the teacher. Go ahead. Good.
He kicked me.
Hey, stop that! What are you? Hey, don't you not like kicking him, Yonason?
He kicked me first.
Wait, hey, you're just a great one. Stop kicking. Don't kick it here.
No, you don't
listen to
what I said.
No, I mean, hurry, stop it. If you kick down a friend of principal and get a guy, no. This can go on easily for 5 minutes. This is called a triangle. Easily. These two have gotten me involved in this triangle. Now, okay, scenario two. Darby kicks Yonason. David, there's no kicking in our class.
But he kicked me.
David, there's no kicking in our class.
That's not fair. He kicked me.
David, there's no kicking in our class. What's he gonna do? And he's gotta stop. That's the answer. There's no emotions. I'm not blaming anyone. I'm just saying that's the fact. That's what we do in our house. It doesn't make a difference. David, don't kick it. That's it. You're gonna stop. And then during recess, I can only discuss it. But you have not gotten me in the triangle. Triangle, there's two people. You pulled me in. I'm the teacher. I'm in control. I'm the parent. I'm in control. You have not pulled me in. I'm not going to lose my cool. I'm not blaming. I just said a statement. They don't kick in the class. And you're going to eventually stop because, you know, even your third time, most kids would stop in the second time. Now you have to know the customers. Okay. Right. So we're not talking about... real problems. This is not for the special ed child who does, who has processing problems, who doesn't understand what you're saying. Impulsive children with ADHD. Yes, right. So we're not talking about problems like ADHD and impulsiveness and inability to follow rules. We're not the average child in a classroom setting. I didn't say to dismiss that. During recess, you got to go back and talk about it. But in the classroom, right now, now is not the time to discipline. Your child does, and I was appalled. I was at a Shev Ruffus yesterday on Shabbos, and there was a kid, and he clearly was missing some social skills. And he was screaming, yelling, and the father was screaming at him in the middle of Shev Ruffus. The father was talking, and he, what are you doing? But now is not the time for discipline. A teacher in a classroom, it's not the time for discipline in the classroom. Discipline has to be before the class or after the class. Now is not the time, nothing to happen in the class, and nothing can happen during supper time either. Don't discipline your kids in front of other kids. As a matter of fact, this is what we do, broken record routine or / self-checkout counter routine. Just keep saying it over again. Don't lose your cool. Please scan next item. Just keep that in your mind, very, very important. Okay, what are we up to? Let children make choices. Okay, I think we did that. Okay, number 6, don't take away hope. Okay, when I was a kid, I went camping with my parents. We went tent camping. Yeah. Oh, yes, sure. If anybody didn't get or would like one. Yes. Anybody? Sure. But the very fact that you're willing to give a reason, that we let you give a reason. Yes, sir.
Oh, that's the reason.
So that out?
Look at the reason, okay.
I have some over here.
There is a fact. If you feel that you won't win on the
house,
there's a fact that you want to win. You want to
win. Here's the copy. Say 50 more. You don't want to win. Okay, so what we need to do is don't take away hope. Okay, when I was a kid, we had tent camping, and tent camping is a lot of fun, but there's always one thing when you go tent camping to worry about is that your kids are going to see RV camping. And when you see those big campers, all you want is that RV. And when I was a kid, I wanted an RV, and I was 8 years old, and I'm going to get my RV. And I went to my father, and I said, Abba, I want an RV. He says, no problem, it's $40,000. And here's your first dollar. Okay, just raised another $39,000. And then became Rosh Hashiva, and I don't raise the fundraise. So, who knows where it started. But anyway, that was my dream, RV. Now, how long did my RV dream last? 3 weeks? 4 weeks? No, not true. I still have a dream to have an RV. Just it's not my focal point in life. I have an RV. And I always tell my wife, you know, I'm going to have an RV one day. Sure. She takes her about hope. But don't take your children's hope. Because these hopes become their dreams, and don't fool yourself, dreams really become reality. Now, obviously, if the kid has a, you know, the kid comes home and says, I'm trying out for the solo in the play, right? So the kid can't act. You'll never make it. You can't act for your life. You just killed the kid. Shlomo Freifeld said a story. He said when he was a little kid, he was playing chess, and one of his rebbeim walked in, Freifeld, you don't have a chess head. He said he wasn't money for that rabbi for years. Because guess what? He stopped playing chess. Well, he does, he doesn't. That's not the point. Don't take away kids' hope. Don't take away children's hope. Make sure they can live through their dreams. Okay? You're going to have a kid who comes home and says, I want to get a, your daughter says, I want to get a job as a babysitter. Now, guess what? She's too young. Right? But don't worry. Nobody's hiring her anyway. So what's the problem? So you say, oh, That's a great idea. What do you have to lose? Right? She'll come back to you and say, well, you said I can do it. Okay, you'll deal with it later. Or you may say, that's interesting. Acknowledge the kid's dream. The kid comes home and says, I'm trying out for the geo head. Great. You know, what do you think you need to do to get that position? You know, she may not make it. She may get a big shock. And when she tries out for a solo part, she feels she has a voice like a frog. You know what? Let her try it out. That's life. Okay? You want to protect her? I know you want to protect her. But try to give them that ability. try to give them that ability to dream and to hope. Because the ultimate thing is, if you take away their hope, you're basically taking away their striving and their achieving, you know, reaching their dreams. Okay, what I need everyone to do now is as follows. If you look on page on page 2, I like you, especially if you're sitting next to your spouse, or work together and fill out. We're going to take, let's do this in 5 minutes. 1 to 6, a parent originally says, right? And then revised statement that encourages autonomy. Remember, you're encouraging autonomy. And I said before, this is very difficult, especially for mothers, that you don't want your child to leave you and become separate from you. And I must tell you that that's the biggest destruction of children is when their parents don't want them to become mature. They want to become mature when it comes to manipulating what they want them to do. Hey, unless it's just something that's chronic here, or there's a learned disability that they're processing. More times than not, the child will rise that occasion, and when they believe themselves, that's called maturity. That's called responsibility. So let's take 5 minutes and just try to do it if you can. Let's do it together. Page two, and go 1 through 6. So let's take 5 minutes here.
Yeah. Not answer so many questions when they come from school or whatever. What if you have a child, and you said they'll come to you later and talk to you naturally, but what if you have a child that's like naturally closed?
So you may want to, like I said, the girl goes to her room, she's crying, you may want to knock on the door and say, you know, if whenever you feel like talking, I'm here for you.
Right, no, I understand what you're saying.
Right. But you mean a child's a naturally closed, introverted.
Yeah, like I just work
it. Right. And what happens when you pry? Does it make it better?
No. We can take him out to breakfast.
And what happened?
No.
Right. So when you ask the questions, do you get anything more?
But we're
assuming we're talking about the kid, that if you ask bombarding questions, you get nothing, and if you leave them alone, you'll get. In your case, you have a bigger problem. The problem is that if you leave it alone, they say nothing. And if you ask questions, they say nothing. We can talk later. That's not this. This is for the quote-unquote average kid. No kid is average. But you know what I'm saying? That's a different problem. That's called an introvert. And that's a different mahalos. But yeah, that's a specialized. That's a special story and how to deal with it. But we're talking about the kid is, you know, who's going to respond, but not really respond when you ask the question. In your case, not responding at all. So that's a side problem. Yeah. 4 minutes left. 4 minutes left.
Whatever.
Ramatzil Salman says when he was a bacher, he was in Ponovich. Ramatzil Salman was in Ponovich, and he Rav Shach. Someone walked in, and Rav Shach used to have candies in his pocket, and he gave a little kid walked in. So Rav Shach said to him, "You want a candy?" So the kid said, "Yes." So he says, "You probably want the red lollipop, right?" And the kid said, "Yes." He gave the red lollipop. So Rav Shach was a bacher; he was like a wise guy, and he said to him, "You're making him into an adoimi, into like Esav, an adoimi. He likes red." So Rav Shach got very serious, and he said, "He's a child. Children are supposed to live in a world of dreams. The problem is with Esav, that he was an adult. Children are supposed to live in a world of red dreams. It's good for them. It's healthy for children to live that. The problem with Esav, that he was an adult when he was an adult. He's living dreams of that. So the children, let them dream. Let them dream, fantasize. What's your problem?" I'm not going to stop it. They'll stop themselves. The reality will set in. Trust me, you don't have to do anything. The reality will set in. Don't worry. They have time to grow. Okay, let's just go quickly. Okay, parent originally said, take your bath now. Please, someone. Go ahead. Excellent. Also, but remember, this is also respecting their struggle. He just said, want to take a bath now before the game, or want to take a bath after the game? Respect their struggle. Something else? Something to add into that? Well, not a choice, but I understand how hard it is for you to give up playing with those blocks now. But would you like to take a 5 minutes from now, or you want to take it now? Just to add that in. Remember, if you're giving the kid a choice, it's because the child is struggling. If the kid wants to take a bath, you don't give him a choice. The kid says, Mommy, I want to take a bath now. You want to take a bath now, or you want to take a bath in 5 minutes? He just said he wants to take a bath now. You don't give a choice then. It's not relevant. The choice is when there's a struggle, and the kid doesn't want to take a bath now, but he's got to take a bath. You want to take a bath now? In your case, you don't say, do you want to wear a coat now or not go outside? Okay? You can do that, but that's not a choice. That's manipulating what I say or else. Okay? And number two, why are you having such a hard time putting on your boots? Here, put your foot up. I'll do it for you. Number two, show respect for child struggles. What would you do? Go ahead. You got to give information. It's true. That's going to help them because you're encouraging outside sources. You're helping them think about the problem. But at this point, this is number two, even though it's true, how would you give information to help them put that boot on? Yes. Right. Sometimes it's easier to put your boots on when you're sitting. Sometimes it's easier to start with the top lace. Sometimes it's easier to pull the laces up. Imagine what the child does when that happens. He's doing it. When you do it, you killed it. You ruined the whole opportunity. Okay? Okay. Number three. Did you have fun at camp today? Did you swim? Did you like other children? What's your counselor like? Okay? Don't ask too many questions. Hi, would you like a drink? What was today's activities? I went too much. Again, one of the women here pointed out that this is certainly for a teenager. There's nothing to talk about. But for a young child, you know, you may want to engage in a conversation. And when is the child too old to ask this? When the child says, Ma, when am I on trial? Right? Then you know he's too old or she's too old. Your child will let you know this. Okay. No, for a young child, you may want to engage her, but a teenager, there's nothing to talk about. Just don't let him feel, sit, let him think. Don't ask them. For a young child, maybe, she was saying that she saw in a parenting book that you should engage them and ask them specific questions. It's true. You don't want to say, how was your day to a little kid? You would say, you know, what happened? Because the little child will say, okay. But your specific questions is for a young child. But for a teenager, don't ask anything. Just, glad to see you. Hi, David. Glad to see you. Imagine how powerful you're making that kid feel because the kid's able to deal with whatever happened that day, especially when it was an emotional, you know, issue and just went through. You know, first day in yeshiva, kids make fun of him. Okay, number four. Child, why does Abba have to work every day? Parent, Abba has to go to work so we can have this nice house. Woo, pretty cold, and blah, 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 blah. Okay? Why does Abba have to work every day? Encourages autonomy.
Why do you think?
Right. But again, not in a degrading way. Well, why do you like any question? Like, why do you think? That's a good question. How do you think, yes?
I don't believe. What? The question is.
No, that's because the child takes that as sort of like sarcastic. No, because remember when a child asks. The child asks the question, they're thinking of answers already. They're already thinking why Tati's working every day, Abba's working every day, Dad's working every day. They're thinking that already. Well, is the child thinking that? We're assuming not. The child's asking a sort of like a philosophical question. Specific questions, I want specific answers. Right. Well, you have to know what Okay, you have to know what he's really asking. Right. A kid in class and says, what do you have for snack? What's the question? Can I have some? So you gotta know what the question is. You have to know what your child's really asking. If a child asks, why does that work every day, and you know it's not fair, it doesn't take me to the store, then you got to answer it differently or deal with that differently. We're assuming it's a philosophical question, why does that work every day? Right? You got to try to hone in what's your real question. Okay, teenager. I'm getting too fat. I want you to put me on a diet. What should I be eating? Parent originally says, I've been telling you for years now to stop eating all that junk food and start eating vegetables. How would you answer that? By encouraging autonomy. Autonomy. Encourage children to use outside sources. Someone else? Fed? Exactly. And you know that if you give any of your answers, she's not going to listen anyway. Because she doesn't think you're the professional. You don't care about me, you just care about the way I look. So you shouldn't be embarrassed of your friends when they see my daughter overweight. Exactly. You say, let's ask, why don't you ask the nutritionist? Let's call her up. Here's the number. Okay? And that's very, very powerful. Because she'll follow through because she's doing who's doing it. Okay? Number six, child. I'm going to be a sister Rebbe when I grow up. Parents, stop dreaming. Every colored guy and Lincoln wants to get the same two slots. What makes they think they'll pick you? Okay? Don't take away hope. Don't take away hope. Don't take away hope. Try. Right? What do you think you need to do to become a Rebbe? Sign up to Armasora and get a Rebbe's course, maybe. Maybe you have to finish Oshner's, yeah. So why don't you go ahead? Don't take away hope.
Thank you for listening to this presentation brought to you by Priority One. Please visit us online at www.priority-1.org. That's priority-1.org, where you can download free audio and publications on parenting, teaching, and teens at risk. For more information or to make a donation, please visit us online or call 800-33-4EVER.